fitter, happier. A program about your health for your health.
Good morning and welcome to Fitter Happier. We can all agree that hearing about COVID-19 has become a normal part of our lives over the past 2 years. It's on our TV, social media and in our conversations. With West Australia now experiencing high case numbers of COVID-19 in the community, it's important we know the facts on what to expect and how to keep ourselves and our family safe. To guide us through the information, we have Dr. Tudor Kondrianu, Incident Controller from the State Health Incident Coordination Centre from the WA Department of Health, joining us today to discuss how we can get ready and manage COVID-19. Welcome, Tudor, and thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Good morning, and thank you for inviting me.
So close contact is a term we are hearing a lot about in the media lately. Can you tell us who is defined as a close contact in Western Australia?
Yes, well, your question, it reminds me of some research which I've done a few years ago when I asked the participants if they can tell me what a disaster is. And, you know, some of them, maybe tongue-in-cheek, said a disaster is when, you know, the local team has lost to the incoming team or some relationship has ended with their boyfriends or girlfriends. So for the purposes of COVID-19, there are a few ways that you can be defined as a close contact of someone who's tested positive of COVID while they were infectious, and I will go through this, dissect this sentence throughout this this conversation. So, in the first instance, you can be defined as a close contact by location, which means that if you are a member of a COVID-positive person household, or by relationship, their intimate partner, or by duration. If you've had 15 minutes of face-to-face contact with them and both of you weren't wearing masks, and this applies indoors and outdoors. Or if you spend more than 2 hours in a small room around the size of a classroom with them where both of you weren't wearing masks. So the common denominator is the wearing of masks, which have which has been one of the measures that has kept us safe in the past few weeks and months and years, actually. Also, you could be notified by another person, let's say your employer or the actual person who is positive that you are a close contact because they have remembered being with you at the time they were infectious, or in some instances by WHealth itself when we do the contact tracing and we deem that we need to make sure that you are notified.
And can you take us through what I would need to do if I was, say, a close contact of somebody?
Well, it's very likely that all of us or any of us will become close contacts at some stage during this pandemic. It's just a fact of life, and therefore your question is very, very timely. There are three key steps to follow if you are a close contact. First one is to get tested as soon as possible by PCR testing at a testing clinic or a rapid antigen test, you know, colloquially known as a RAT. Even if your test result is negative, you can still need to complete your 7-day quarantine. If your test result is positive, you will need to follow the protocol for someone who has tested positive because you have now moved from being a close contact to becoming a case. So going back to your test being negative, you must complete your quarantine for 7 days. And I think, you know, maybe the silver lining, I think it's good to say that it's a big difference from what the meaning of the word quarantine is, which comes from the Latin quaranta, means 40 days, and that was the number of days people required to remain on board vessel in Venice in the 15th century before they were allowed to disembark. So we moved from 40 days to just 7. So that's, you know, that's the silver lining on it. For your 7 days, you have to start counting them from the last time you had contact with the person whom tested positive and needs to be at home or another suitable location. Being in isolation or quarantine means, unfortunately, that you cannot leave your home unless for four reasons. One of them is to get a PCR test at a testing clinic or to obtain a RAT test. For seeking urgent medical attention for you or someone in your household, or obviously if you need to escape an immediate threat to your safety. So if there is any, you know, significant threat to your safety at home, your house is on fire or, you know, escape domestic violence or anything along those lines that would make your safety at risk, you can, of course, leave your premise even if you are supposed to stay in quarantine. Unfortunately, quarantine also means that you can have visitors in your home. You cannot go to work or school or visit public places such as shops other than to obtain your RAT test, your parks or beaches. And this is a legal requirement. Unfortunately, there's not much wiggle room about this one. And you have to monitor for symptoms and get tested if you experience any. And this is something that we all need to do, whether we are close contacts or not, whether you are in quarantine or not. And it's very important, if you are symptomatic, get tested, because then you will have the answer whether you are still a close contact or actually have moved to becoming a case.
And say, for example, I'm quarantining for 7 days, as you said. What would happen to the other people that I'm living with?
Well, the good news is that if you test negative at the beginning of your quarantine, your housemates or family do not need to quarantine with you. However, if you test positive, the people in your household become close contacts, obviously, and need to quarantine for the 7 days and get tested, as I have explained earlier. For household close contacts, the 7 days is counted from the day or the date of the test of the positive case. So, for example, if you had symptoms in the last 2 days, but you only got your test yesterday, the 7 days period starts from yesterday for you and for your household contact. If you are a household close contact and someone else in your household tests positive, you can leave your quarantine after your own day 7 if you have a negative PCR test on day 6 or a day 7 RAT test. Just a few words about close contacts who do not live with you. For example, people whom you met with for, let's say, dinner 2 days ago. Since there were no mask wearing during dinner, I would hope so, and the dinner presumably lasted more than 15 minutes, you will be a close contact as well, and you'll need to enter quarantine for the 7 days calculated from the time you had last contact with a positive case, irrespective of their time of their positive test.
Beautiful. So that's a lot of information to consume, but I'm sort of understanding that you, so the quarantine starts, you said, the day before yesterday, and then you don't have to actually quarantine respective if you're living with other people, if that person tests negative. So if you're living with those people, you can go about your business, but you yourself have to still quarantine, still testing negative.
If you test negative, yes.
And I want to know, are there different arrangements in place for critical workers?
Yes, critical workers are clearly critical for the works of the society and the economy. So there are some special rules that apply to them, and these have been clearly communicated with industries. And they will be part of a risk assessment of what their actual workplace means and what it will mean if that worker comes or doesn't come to work for the industry or for the workplace itself. Some critical workers will be allowed to continue in their work if they are an asymptomatic close contact. So asymptomatic means that the person does not have any symptoms consistent with COVID-19 infection, such as, for example, a runny nose, a sore throat, recent cough, or recent loss of smell or taste. There is only in limited circumstances when these critical workers' special allowances are applied, and it needs to be an agreement between the employer and the employee. And it is based on a very nimble and astute risk assessment on the business, and it's not to be taken lightly. Actually, it increases the risk of bringing the infection to the workplace. So you start bringing back an asymptomatic close contact in the workplace, that person might become a case in the next few days because such is, let's say, the scenario, and then that person has to be sent home for the duration of infection. So it's a very specific scenario-by-scenario, risk-assessed, informed decision between the employer and the employee. So outside of work, assuming that this critical worker is coming back to work, outside of work, they will need to continue their quarantine for 7 days, and they'll also need to have a daily negative RAT result during this time, as well as, you know, other personal protection equipment at work, wearing masks as deemed required at the workplace. So it's a very special circumstance. It is a case by case, and it's driven by the employer and the employee agreeing that yes, it's something that has to happen. Otherwise, the implication will be negative or significantly negative for the industry or the workplace itself.
Mm-hmm. And can you tell us a little bit more about the arrangements for school children?
Yes, well, we now have seen, and there is obviously a lot of knowledge now, that most of the cases that we have in WA are in children who attend school and young people. And asymptomatic children who are close contacts of someone who are close contacts of someone at their school or daycare can continue going to school or at that daycare. They can also attend before and after school care or school-based sporting and cultural training activities organized on school grounds. This is very important to know and understand that, yes, you can turn up at school before, let's say, the school starts because there is some activity organized by the school, an extracurricular activity. Yes, you can stay later at school to attend an after-school extracurricular activity, but then you have to go home. It's not like you'd go home and then you come out of your house and you go to another sporting event or cultural event somewhere and then you come back. So it has to be linked with that time that you are at school, and this is very important to know and actually to follow. So outside of these approved activities, times, locations, they need to quarantine at home. And just to be very, very clear, this only applies if the child is asymptomatic, i.e. doesn't have any symptoms, and it doesn't apply to children who are close contacts of another household member. So in that situation, children need to stay at home from school or the daycare or early childhood education.
You're on the record with Madeline Lombardi, and I'm chatting with Dr. Tudor Kondrianu, Incident Controller from the State Health Incident Coordination Centre. So, Dr. Kondrianu, if you're a close contact and you've just recovered from COVID-19, do you still need to isolate?
Well, if you just recovered, then you become a normal human being again. The good news is that if you've recovered from COVID-19 in the past 12 weeks, so that's 3 months, we now know that your immune system can provide you with the protection you require for the following 3 months. So therefore, you don't need to isolate or quarantine as a close contact. And if you develop symptoms, it is highly likely they are not caused by COVID, and you do not need to be tested for COVID unless you are, of course, immunocompromised or have significant other issues specific to yourself. As with any other infectious illness, however, if you don't feel well, stay at home and seek medical assistance if you're not getting better or if you're getting any worse. So essentially, the good news is that once you have cleared your COVID infection, you can go out and enjoy your normal life without having to quarantine for the next 12 weeks, even if you develop symptoms.
That's good news then. So you just mentioned the rules for close contacts, but what should somebody do if they test positive?
Well, first of all, don't panic, especially if you have received all doses of your vaccine that you're eligible to. And, you know, we know that the variant that is currently dominant in WA and essentially around the world, the Omicron one, most people who are generally fit and healthy of a younger age can manage their COVID recovery at home, again, especially if they receive all their recommended dose of vaccines. However, if you are a case, for lack of a better word now, you must immediately isolate at home or other suitable accommodation. You have to isolate for 7 complete days from the date you took your test. So, for example, if you took your test at, let's say, 11:45, quarter to midnight yesterday on the 23rd of March, your isolation period will finish on the 30th of March, and you can leave isolation on the 31st of March. If you tested via RAT test, you must report, obviously, your positive result on the Healthy WA website, but you do not to report your positive result if you do a test by PCR, because you will be informed of that test, and the testing clinic will capture that information as well. If you have report your positive RAT or when the PCR test has shown that you have the infection with the virus, you'll receive an SMS from WA Health with a link to an online contact tracing survey. Now, this survey is perhaps is a misnomer, but the survey actually gathers information that will be sent to WHO Health, and it's aimed at identifying those who might be at high risk after contracting the infection. So it's nothing to do else than making sure that we can provide you with the assistance that you require based on a risk assessment should you answer those questions. So it's very important that you do, because then we can help and we can assist with whatever needs you might have during your isolation period. You will also have to tell your close contacts, especially those in your household, that you are positive. And also you may want to contact the people that you have had contact during an infectious period. And that infectious period, as I said, I would comment on it at the start of this interview, your infectious period starts 48 hours before you had your onset of symptoms, or 48 hours before your positive test results if you don't have symptoms, until the end of your isolation period. And if your workplace isn't already aware that you are a case, I think it's very important for you to tell them as soon as possible, because they may also do some more contact tracing and identify more close contacts at work when you have been infectious.
And for people managing their recovery, what should COVID-19 positive people expect?
Well, as I mentioned before, most people who are generally fit and healthy will have very mild symptoms, and their severity, of course, will vary from person to person. But most people will only experience mild flu-like symptoms. And as with everything that looks like flu-like symptoms, the same thing will work well in relieving some of the symptoms, which is pain-relieving medication like your paracetamol, your Panadol, or cold and flu tablets can reduce some of these symptoms. Make sure you drink lots of water. Take electrolytes if you have some vomiting or diarrhea, and try to rest and get lots of sleep. The last 2 years have not been easy on any of us, and it's a bit of time to catch up on the sleep that maybe you didn't have for the last couple of years. The COVID Care at Home provides home care for the COVID-positive people who are at greater risk of requiring additional health support or even hospitalizations. So if you register on this program, which I strongly suggest you do, you'll be contacted within 24 hours by a nurse. This nurse will ask more questions about your health background and provide you with more information on how to get further assistance, either from other organizations and providers or through this program itself, as and when required. Patients are enrolled based on risk factors, such, for example, age, vaccination status, severity of symptoms, medical history, and other social factors. And there are a lot of supports that are put in place to help during the course of the illness. And this is a free service, but you need to register. So it's an opt-in as opposed to an opt-out. So if you don't do it, we won't know that you might need some help. And it's very important for you to do that.
And for people like myself who are living in share houses or people that have family homes as well, do you have any advice on how households can prepare and get ready early for COVID-19?
Absolutely. So like most things in life, being prepared will help you and your family or your households to manage the situation. So first thing, what I will do, I will consider my daily tasks and then try to see how I'm going to manage with essential daily tasks when I cannot get out of my house. So that will be your contactless shopping. What can I do about work? Let's say whether my laptop has, I have access for work from home. What are my educational requirements for me and, my children? Don't forget if you have pets, how you're going to feed them and whether they have enough food or enough, medication if you have to provide that to them and to yourselves. Ensure your family has everything it needs to quarantine at home, and that is your food, maybe your RAT test, other essentials, medicine, entertainment. Don't forget about entertainment. And you do not need to stockpile. So I will not stockpile anything more than what I will think I will need for maybe 7 days. And looking at what I needed in the last 7 days may be a good indication for that. Don't forget about the medical needs, whether it's what to do in emergency, and I think it goes without saying, but I'll say it anyway. If you are in a in a serious emergency or of life-threatening emergency, dial 000. But other than that, who to call, your childcare arrangements, if you need to be admitted to hospital for whatever reason, not just COVID, enough supply of yours and other people in your household, regular medications. This is something that has come up regularly in our feedback that we have received from people who have been going through this, is that they haven't thought of their chronic medications that should last them for, you know, at least 7 days or, you know, 14 days, whatever the case might be. And this is when it's good time for you to have a chat or renew your script with your doctor. COVID-19 kits, which is your, you know, your face mask, your hand sanitizer, gloves, pain relief medications, electrolytes, as I mentioned, a thermometer. All these are essential for you to stay safe at home and also to protect your household. Isolation, as I said, unfortunately means that you have little contact with others. So you have to think how you'll be keeping in touch with friends and family, and that communication is always a two-way street, so whether you can contact them and they can contact you. Check out Healthy WA website for much more information on this. I know our time in the interview is limited, but there's a lot of information on the Healthy WA website. And can I just take this opportunity to say that all along this pandemic, we have been in it together. And preparedness also extends to your neighbors and or the more vulnerable. And this will be a very good time for you to knock next door and offer help to your neighbors to prepare or ask them to help you if you were to remain or to go into isolation. Having someone close by whom you can help during their isolation or who you can or can help you is absolutely priceless, and it will take a lot of the, let's say, of the stress and of the uncertainty and unknown pressure of your shoulders. And if you are identified as not a close contact but you have symptoms, get tested, unless, of course, you had COVID in the past 12 weeks.
Thank you so much for joining us on Fitter Happier, Dr. Kondrianu. I've learned heaps and I'm sure our listeners have too. And I love what you said there in the middle about, you know, coming together sort of as a community and relying on our neighbors as well as our friends, that we're all in this together and we can get through it together. So thank you so much for joining us this morning.
You're most welcome.
That was Dr. Tudor Kondrianu, Incident Controller, State Health Incident Coordination Centre, chatting with us all about how West Australians can get ready to manage COVID-19. And for more information, you can visit the Healthy WA website. That's healthywa.wa.gov.au. For information on close contacts and quarantine and isolation pages in particular, visit the WA government website, wa.gov.au. For information on critical workers, testing and isolation protocols, as Dr. Kondrianu said.